Blog Talk Radio.
And you will not accept the cattling. I've always wanted to say, we are all individuals.
Park. Welcome to Here Be Monsters. It's part of a drumline of radioactivists. We're on the air supporting the Occupy in worldwide cities at this time, and Occupy Palm Beach also, because that's where I am. And we're sponsored by Roundtree7, and that's the number 7.com, and the writers there that are the hosts for this Solidarity show. I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry, and this is an official boycott of the MSM Media. The challenge right now is to come in smoothly as possible, bring knowledge to the social consciousness in reporting as much as the social nets and those feeds like Twitter and Facebook and, my goodness, whatever you have out there to plug into, we're plugging. In keeping a spot coverage of the protests and Occupy. I think everybody's agreed sort of across the board to call it Occupy. Every day for as long as this lasts, Here Be Monsters will dedicate between 1 to 2 hours, and today it might be the short side, for I do have a few things to get done, but Here Be Monsters is dedicated to keeping this up every dang day. We are appreciative of the designers of Occupy, Anon, and Adbusters. And let's remember that that's you and I. And every damn day, as we say, as long as there is an Occupy in any city or any old damn gas station in the good old world fighting to be heard, as they stand against that repression of corporate earth and all the rest of it, you know by now well enough. This is a boycott of the MSM, and we hope for your support in just even giving us a ring, a call in, or listening or passing the word along. And please remember to pass the information along in your neighborhood, in your community. If you go to the grocery store, I'll wear my Guy Fawkes mask to the grocery store so people will ask, what is going on? What is that about? It's really important, folks, because, you know, we know about it. We're interested. We're there. We're plugged to it. We're committed and all of the rest. But the rest of the world is out there sort of dancing on the wire, not understanding a bit. And we're going to talk about some of the misunderstanding. Matt Taibbi brought something up this weekend. Hey, and that's another thing. We had a wonderful weekend. Occupy the World occurred on Saturday. Wonderful events all over the place. The only people who got emotional was those emotional Italians, and they had a few moments of rage against the machine, and one could only hope to spend a little time with them. We're in it here at Here Be Monsters for the long run. This is an on-air protest and boycott of the MSM, and we're establishing a citizens' media in our own small way. We're not going to be, I don't think, any big, huge tower of, you know, broadcast, but we're doing what we can. And we have this huge tower of broadcast from which people may access us if the word gets out. So we're very happy and pleased if you do come by and find us. I am completely supported by my co-writers and rebels and activists over at Roundtree7, that's the number 7.com. David and Dusty and Jack and Mike and Morgan and P. Nolan, all of them take turns to, well, not all of them, but we are taking turns here, so you might tune in and find one of them. So that off to the side. We have some news to report, but before we do, I wanted to play another little piece that we got here. Well, actually, I guess we are going to do that. All right. I found a wonderful resource, and I'm going to use it as some fodder here for you to listen to. Hopefully, you're doing something and listening on the side. It's been posted all over Facebook. It's been shot through Twitter. It's been on a lot of shared networks like Tumblr and such. And a gentleman from the Orlando Liberal Examiner by the name of Robert Sobel has gone and made us a fancy list of places where you're not going to find the truth, places to steer away from when you're looking for information. These are the horrible sources, as he calls them. And I thought it worthwhile to go through the list. Fox News is on it at number one. Number two would be Rush Limbaugh. Number three would be Glenn Beck. And number four would be Michael Savage. And then number five is Alex Jones. I'm agreeing with that. Number six would be the Heritage Foundation. Number seven, the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, they've been lying their asses off. Eight is Neil Boors. And then there's, of course, number nine, Sean Hannity. Number 10 would be Bill O'Reilly. Number 11 would be rightwingnews.com. 12 would be the National Review. I think we can all agree that WTF is gone and nothing's replaced and the house is kind of empty. Number 13 is Mark Levin. Number 14, the Weekly Standard. There is the Washington Times, the American Conservative, and the Drudge Report. I think most people know these things, but in case you don't, I'm giving you them so that you will have a point of knowledge, a media research center, stay the hell away, townhall.com, no good, Red State, you knew that. Oh, my God, Andrew Breitbart's big government. This is the guy that The original term, I think, was, and it's probably around then, is liar, liar, pants on fire. Of course, all these folks are. Christian Coalition to John Birch Society, Citizens United, FreedomWorks, the Tea Party Express, the Tea Party Patriots, No Left Turns, Newsbusters, Newsmax, the New York Post, oh hell yes, Conservative HQ, Sirius Radio Patriot Show, Conservative American News, Conservative Daily News, Judicial Watch, The Source Daily, Republican National Committee, American Spectator, Reason Magazine, Where Freedom Rings, Conservapedia. Are you kidding me? Really? I mean, really? Okay, Conservapedia, the right side of the web. CNS News, Michael Reagan, of course. Family Research Council, Conservative Underground, and Hugh Hewitt. Those are the places that you might want to stay away from. I thought we'd give you a listing, a resource. Anyways, there is some bit of news from my own area of South Florida that I'd like to pass on today. Tomorrow, there is an Occupy planned for the Federal Reserve in Miami. So you might want to check up on Occupy Miami meetups because there is a huge movement to occupy in front of the Federal Reserve in Miami, downtown Miami. So there you have that. Okay, and I was speaking earlier, there was a Matt Taibbi story that broke today in the morning from Rolling Stone. Why Occupy Wall Street is Bigger Than Left Versus Right was the entitled story. But basically what he's bringing up is that Mr. Breitbart, once again, has pulled some shenanigans. He's been filtering in, there has been this terrible photo that's been slipped in into the MSM about, it's a picture of protesters saying, frankly, it reads, fuck the troops, and something else degrading about the troops. Now, everybody has the right to say what they wish, but this is simply something that was pulled out of files from the year 2007 when they were protesting against Bush's war, which is still frigging going on, if you ask me, but there you have it. That's been going on, and apparently Mr. Breitbart has hacked into, and that's become the new thing for conservatives to do, break the privacy. And, you know, I thought that was a felony to pull something like that. I'm really wondering where the hell the cops are when it comes to something like this. But if you take a look at the police in the eye of the camera, the eye of the lens right now, you get a real skewed sort of a vision of them because not all of the cops and not all of the cities that are in occupied territory did I just say an occupied territory? That's strange, but we'll go with it. Not all of them have these attitudes or are being told what to do by people with large bank accounts. New York is proving the rule for that in the moment, though. And Mr. Taibbi has submitted this article about, you know, his privacy being broken with emails, as to emails being sent back and forth. And they're actually just kind of claiming that the Occupy movement, especially at Fugate Park right now, Occupy Wall Street, is being manipulated by the liberal left, you know, media, I guess it would be, because they're claiming that Mr. Taibbi, with his suggestions in his last article of what he would list as demands for them to come up with, something said by Mr. Rattigan, who was involved in this round of emails, and Glenn Greenwald, all of these folks, apparently, have been singled out and hacked by Mr. Breitbart's group to put out some, you know, untrue information about the OWS. So you got to keep on your toes. A lot of people don't really know yet what the Occupy movement, and this little show is, it's about keeping the information out there. Somebody, I have one guest in the room I can see, and I'm thinking this is wonderful because this is somebody that might pick something up, might hear something that they're going to pass along and bring the information out there, so it brings awareness up and more people know. The awareness on a global level is becoming pretty huge because now the mainstream media, the main three or four networks being Fox, of course they don't have a network news, but CBS, NBC, and ABC right now are beginning to talk almost daily for the last week about the Occupy movement, and this weekend it going global. Global, folks. I mean, it happened in Taipei. It happened in you know, well, Milan got pretty, Milan and Rome got pretty wild. Sydney, Australia, hundreds or thousands of people. Tokyo, hundreds of people demonstrated. You got to figure in Tokyo, they're going to. And it's very strange, the people who are beginning to speak up about the Occupy movement. One of those people is Sean Penn, who's a well-known activist and has done some pretty wonderful stuff. But he sounded pretty self-involved about the whole thing when he was interviewed by Piers Morgan. I don't think he understood it. That's another thing. People, especially elders, are not really grasping the consensus dynamic of how it works. But just like Mr. Assange in front of St. Paul's had to get used to using the mic check, the people's mic, as it were, funny enough, folks are just, you know, it's not everybody gets it right away. So you have to be consistent. And the Occupy movements local that are going on, you have to be committed and consistent with it. So when information is spewed out and it's going on almost by the moment, by the right wing, you have to remember that these people are starting to get pretty scared. They're seeing the birth of an actual movement go on here, a movement that it extends beyond when they talk about co-opting by the Democrats or MoveOn.org or the DCCC or Van Jones or who have you. You know, local politicians and Democrats are probably well-meant folks that don't want to actually co-opt, but I've seen here in our own little group where, you know, the Move On group is like busy as ants trying to, you know, and the people working for them probably have no ill, you know, intentions, but the point is that Occupy, especially Occupy Wall Street, which is the absolute figurehead and sets the standard for the Occupy in this country, at least, those standards are that it's not about, you know, they made their declaration. The and we're going to go over that again. I'm going to play Keith Olbermann reading it out loud once again, because I think it's important for us to really keep looking at it and understanding what is going on with this movement, what it is, and why people are not making political demands right now, why they are just establishing their presence and they're using their bodies as the currency that they have left. This is a populist movement being born, and maybe it extends beyond that. I think, personally, that what is going on here is a moral and ethical revival, a wish, a hope, an intention, enough is enough. We have to revive ethics and moral values, people's needs over corporate greed, as the good folks at the October 2011 movement in Washington, D.C. are establishing every day. And there's speculation there, too, that perhaps the 4 months permit that they've been issued to stay there is part of the, part of the plan of the Democrats or the presidential election, re-election campaign to usurp and make use of the Occupy Wall Street movement for some very, very radical liberal voting, I would guess. I'm going to play you a piece here that gives you a lineup. I mean, the elections in this country are rather important. But the elections are between Republicans and Democrats are getting more and more to the ridiculous, a sublime ridiculousness. And so, and I'm searching here for my piece. I just want to play you a capsule. It's about a 5-minute capsule of the Sunday buffoons on television. It includes all the Republicrats.
We have elected leaders in this town who frankly are joining in an effort to blame others rather than focusing on the policies that have brought about the current situation. I mean, when you hear some of the Democratic elected leaders joining in, blaming parts of our economy and society versus let's take some of the credit or blame here in Washington.
You know, where is the leadership on the Republican side? You want to talk about sitting on the sidelines. They're the ones that have just been crossing their arms and hoping for failure. I mean, how could it's so irresponsible for them to allow the economy to just remain stagnant? So that they would
disagree
with victory in the election.
It's time the president came off the campaign trail, sat down, and negotiated and talked with us and see areas of common ground. For example, simplification of the tax code. Have you met anyone who doesn't favor simplification of the tax code?
Herman has as people look at 999 and disaggregate it, it gets to be a lot harder sale, I think.
The reason that my message is appealing is because it's simple and people can understand it. You know, a good idea transcends party politics, but there are some people who will not even consider 999 or any other proposal if it's coming from someone of the opposite political persuasion.
We believe, Chris, the best way is to provide incentives for investment to create jobs. We are for tax relief for small business, and we believe and agree with the president that business expensing is something that we can provide entrepreneurs right now, and you'll see us bring a bill forward.
And you said at an event in Tennessee that you would build an electrified fence on the border that could kill people if they tried to cross illegally.
That's a joke, David.
It's a joke, so
it's
that was
a joke. That's a joke.
That's not a serious plan.
That's not a serious plan, no,
okay.
It's not.
You got a big laugh at that, but that's
joke.
Not what you would do.
That's a joke. I've also said America needs to get a sense of humor. That was a joke.
Okay. So you draw some distinction between yourself and your experience as a black man in America and the experience of President Obama.
Absolutely. I came from very humble beginnings. My mother was a maid. My father was a barber, a janitor, a chauffeur. we had to do things the old-fashioned way. We had to work for it. My parents never saw themselves as a victim, so I didn't learn how to be a victim. I didn't have anything given to me.
Who shaped your thinking about the U.S. and the world in foreign policy?
I've looked at the writings of people like Ambassador John Bolton. I've looked at the writings of Dr. Henry Kissinger, Casey McFarland, someone who I respect.
So, would you describe yourself as a neoconservative then?
I'm not sure what you mean by neoconservative. I am a conservative, yes. Neoconservative labels sometimes will put you in a box. I'm very conservative.
But you're familiar with the neoconservative movement?
I'm not familiar with the neoconservative movement.
Well, I think his policy of engagement with Iran has clearly been a failure, beginning when he failed to acknowledge the or support the demonstrators back in early 2009 who were chanting in the streets, "Obama, Obama, are you with us or are you with them?"
I don't think the war in Iraq was a mistake, because there were a lot of other reasons we needed to go to Iraq, and there have been a lot of benefits that have come out of Iraq. Now, that being said, I don't agree with the president's approach to draw down 40,000 troops and basically leave that country open to attacks by Iran.
Well, first of all, I wish we would just be honest or say nothing. I don't think you send special ops troops in there with instructions not to kill anybody. Some kind of nonsensical, "We really don't want to shoot you, but we're sending armed troops, and we know it's a dangerous area, but we really like not to do anything." It's just stupid. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
My hope is that there can be some kind of discussion that can be convincing for the Iranians to change course. Absent that, at one time or another, if you project out a number of years, we're on a collision course. And if we want to avoid it, we have to take action to avoid it.
He's been running for office for almost 20 years for senator and governor of Massachusetts. Then he was a pro-choice, pro-gay rights, pro-environmental candidate for office. Then he decided to run for president, did a 180 on all of that. So time and time and time again, he shifts, and you get the feeling that there is no principle too large for him to throw over in pursuit of political office.
Again, when you black out a document and there is responsive information underneath, that's a form of tampering. We're not accusing anyone of a criminal cover-up, but we have an obligation, a real obligation to the Terry family and a real obligation to the Constitution to follow this.
Are you going to ask the Attorney General to resign?
You know, that's for the president to decide.
Some people have actually said that Chairman Issa is on a witch hunt here. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think Chairman Issa has come up with some very unfortunate statements about the chief law enforcement officer in our country. And he's come up with these statements, and then he goes in search of the facts.
So there you have it. Buffoons on parade. Good Lord. That's what we have to deal with. The electability of Republicans that they put in front of us, the reasons for their campaign and for their desire to become the president of the United States are bedrock in profiteering and corporate greed. And the United States, really, civilized countries of the world, do not seem to actually have an awareness or an understanding. The majority of the population, while people understand that things are not right, that people are greedy and corrupt, and people are not nice. We've gone through a period of time here where basically you have some folks who are running for office that are in the middle of debates, and this audience that is there to support them will applaud the idea of the death of another neighbor or part of their community because they are unable to pay for health insurance. And now the health insurance bill is all, you know, sort of falling down. We're really facing a large default, if you will, in moral and ethical value. And that's a large part of the reason that the people that are at Occupy Wall Street right now it's a real difficult time to be, you know, responsibly political these days. Let me, though, play the opposite approach.
My favorite part of looking at this whole, we got this whole $1 trillion on tax cuts for the rich under George Bush. We got into this whole $2 trillion on two wars that we put on a credit card for our children and grandchildren to pay off. And we got into this whole $1 trillion on a Medicare drug program that A, was not paid for, and B, is 40% more expensive than it needs to be because it was a giveaway to the drug company. So we just have, I mean, that's just $4 trillion right there. So part of the way you fix this problem is, like, don't do those things. I hear all this, you know, well, this is class warfare, this is whatever. No, there is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. Nobody. You built a factory out there, good for you, but I want to be clear, you moved your goods to market on the roads the rest of us paid for.
Yep.
You hired workers the rest of us paid to educate. You were safe in your factory because of police forces and fire forces that the rest of us paid for. You didn't have to worry that marauding bands would come and seize everything at your factory and hire someone to protect against this because of the work the rest of us did. Now look, you built a factory and it turned into something terrific or a great idea. God bless. Keep a big hunk of it. But part of the underlying social contract is you take a hunk of that and pay forward for the next kid who comes along.
And that's Elizabeth Warren. She's running for Senate for Ted Kennedy's old seat. We wish her well. We wish her lots of luck, and whatever spare change I can give, I will be giving. We do have a caller online. I believe it's Rick Spisak from Progressive.
You're
News
absolutely
Network.
Correct.
You're absolutely correct. Gwen, it's my pleasure to join you. And please keep saying all those good things about Elizabeth Warren. I'm with you 100%.
She really provides us with a standard of hope, if you will, not to beat the word to death, you know.
She is a true American hero by my lights, and I'm sure yours as well. She has stood up for working people like nobody else. Nobody else,
yeah.
And she is remarkable.
She absolutely is.
The kind of woman everybody's daughter.
I have to. Have you been keeping an eye on the news that has tumbled out this weekend?
Well, I've heard several wonderful and several pitiful stories. let me go with a good one. I understand that the Iraqi government just is fed up with having Americans over there, and no, they won't give us a free pass. So since we don't want to behave morally, I guess we're going to leave.
Well, you know what? my mother used to say, handsome is as handsome does, right?
of course, the Occupy movement has been growing leaps and bounds. I know on our show yesterday we were talking about the fact that we hope that we're establishing a level of civic engagement that's only going to grow, that's only going to get better. And let's hope. Let's hope that's
yes.
the case.
It is a let's hope. I don't think that the there is a lot of talk. I've seen a lot of information coming over the net today. Matt Taibbi's put up an article in Rolling Stone about being hacked by Andrew Breitbart, and the topic of, you know, he and Dylan Radigan and Greenwald navigating the OWS movement, which is pretty ridiculous. But this is what these folks do. They put out, you know, propaganda and lies that over the whole, you know, over the whole thing. But here's the thing. I think it's really absolutely true that folks aren't buying it, Rick. I think people are staying pretty, you know, there's no co-opting going on either. It doesn't seem. They're around, and I think local politicians, like local Democratic politicians and such with well-meant intentions want to support. But it doesn't seem, except for the Move On group, it seems that everybody is backing away from it because the core, the organizing general assembly of a group and its consensus is disallowing it. Have you noticed?
Well, you know, I think it's amazing. You know, we progressives have had this axiom for a long time. If the people lead, the politicians will eventually get the message. So I don't think it's surprising at all that we've got people like, geez, even Al Gore noticed and said, oh, yeah, I'm with them. Yeah, I'm with them. even though his voice has been silent for far too long on so many important issues.
I agree.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we will keep leading, and they will eventually get the message at some point. You know, some of us who didn't like the Iraq war from the beginning noticed with no small shock that America finally did get around to noticing it. Geez, maybe it's not a good idea after all. So I think there'll be more of that.
Yes, I agree. And then the overtures of the weekend, there was this story that I heard this morning about the Ayatollah dismissing free elections and even deposing Ahmadinejad. And I'm wondering what that has to do with U.S. allegations of assassination. I don't think many people are buying that story, by the way.
No, I agree with you there, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I'm wondering what's going on, really, in Iran. Is the Green Party getting ready to rise up again with all the Occupy, and is the Ayatollah sort of shortening its skirts, as it were, for battle and saying,
uh-huh.
you know, oh, no, we're not going to let this happen?
Right, you know, just going back to hardcore theocratic rule, no fig leaf of some kind of representative government. You know, and of course we can't go without mentioning the fact that we've invaded a new country. Hey.
Did we?
To our long list. Yes, to our long list, we've got a new front in Africa now. And, you know, we're finding new ways of fighting for freedom and victory and Coca-Cola and GE and all those really important citizens.
Yeah, it was heartening. It was heartening. Watch what happened on Saturday. It was very heartening.
It is.
You know that tomorrow down in Miami, I think this is very interesting. Tomorrow, the Occupy folks from Miami are planning a Occupy on the steps of the Federal Reserve down there.
Excellent. Well, you know, I noticed another interesting thing toward the end of last week in Miami, that a group that is has long been working for economic justice, it's called One Miami, had some meetings, had some rallies outside Marco Rubio's office, first to try to get him to vote for the jobs thing, which we, of course, could guess he'll be in lockstep with all the brainless nihilists in the Republican Party. But then they went back after he voted against it and held a second rally expressing their concern. And here we've got, you know, a Latin senator in the, you know, in the Latin city of Miami being opposed by working Latin, the Latin community. I think, you know, there's common cause with working people. There's common cause with the working poor. And I think it's overcoming so many of the old barriers, and that's wonderful.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I noticed when I was politicking for Obama, yes, I did that very, very diligently. We won a lot of people's hearts in the Latin portion of community. A lot of people were, because we've got new generations, you know. I think the days of Dade and Broward County corruption could be numbered if we can stick to our guns with this movement, because you and I both know how corrupt Broward and Dade are. It's like Tammany Hall, for gosh sakes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was doing some work as a multimedia producer for some governmental operations down there, and some of the things that I saw going on in broad daylight, just, it was absolutely shocking, absolutely shocking. But, there's something else I wanted to mention to our listeners. The anonymous video that you posted, I think, is really powerful stuff. And one of the points that I think is very much bears mentioning is, you know, we're focusing kind of on the terrible economic situation for good reason, because everyone hears that, everyone experiences that. It's a common thing that we can all share. But the point that I thought he made beyond the economics, beyond the apolitical nature of his message, was something about the human dignity is involved here. That we shouldn't be in a world, we shouldn't be in a successful society that demands that you turn your back on your family, you turn your back on your friends, and you live to work. And right now, people are working so hard that family, the human experience, has been given not just the back seat, has been thrown out of the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that the human element here, as we go about recreating the economic, the social equation, we can't forget that. We can't just fix this with politics. We can't just fix it with an economic situation. We can't just straighten out the banks. We have to look at what are we doing with our human lives? What kind of stupid box are we putting human lives into, human spirit into? Because it's not just about you and me. It's about our grandchildren's grandchildren. The five-generation point of view.
It is, and it's also about that is my politics. I don't really have politics. There's just what's left anymore is what is your way of life? How do you choose to walk through your world, you know? And I keep saying this. I do think that the OWS movement is based more in a revival of those morals and those ethics than they are anywhere near a politic, because we know very well how to govern ourselves in a group, in a large, massive civilization, and do it well and to do it justly. We do know how to do it. This isn't about revolution. Gee, Rick, it's about evolution.
Yep. Well, you and I were fortunate enough to live through that cultural shift that was the 60s and the 70s. We did that work of appraising our lifestyle, appraising our goals, looking at what part of our lives was going to be consumed by dollars and consumerism, and what part of our lives was going to be dedicated to the human spirit, to the people we love, the people we care about. And we've already made that decision, but there's a lot of people are coming to that whole equation a little later in the boat, so to speak.
I agree with you. But, I think if you were to walk through Fuccotti Park, as our good buddy, our writer pal, P.E. Nolan, Tricia, has done, I think she put it pretty well. She said, there's a huge spiritual presence there, and it's much larger than anything that you've really ever felt in a political venue. So it's and the other thing I wanted to mention, and I'm glad I have you to reflect it off of here, is I've noticed that a lot of people are reaching towards, a lot of sincere people wish for more of a influence and more of a presence, not influence, but presence of Michael Moore. Have you noticed that people are talking about, why isn't Michael Moore spending more time in these groups? Because he's just great, you know?
Well, you know, it actually, to me, I think there's a reason for it, and I think there's a reason he backed off. The reason
yep.
he's not out there camped out, and I think you're probably going to agree with me. I think that he doesn't want this to be about him, and I think he thinks that his gravitas in a social political dynamic sense it would make too much of this be about him, and I think he's very happy to see this evolve in this organic consensus driven entity, this social animal that's this much more wonderful thing than any one leader. You know, I've heard some people sneer about, you know, people dropping by and all, and I hear that and I know that, but I think that people of real spirit, people of real consequence, understand that this is not about leaders. This is not about who's the person they can single out and say he's got
right.
a feet of clay or she's not perfect. It's not about that.
Nope.
It's about that
not
social dynamic.
No, it's not. This is about being of service to the community and to each other. It really
yep.
is. And that's why it seems to me it feels more spiritual in a way than it does political. We are talking about people's needs over corporate greed.
Yep, yep. Well, you know, I've had the good fortune to attend a lot of organizational meetings, a lot of spiritual activist groups. I spent a lot of time in ashrams. I know what that let's call it the social organism is like. I know what tapping into that's like, whether you found it at a concert or you found it at a festival or you found it at a rally, that sense of joining the self with the larger social self, and it nourishes like nothing else. And my friend Ed, who attended his first big event by going up to that October 2011 event in D.C., he got that thing for the first time because he had not been a political animal in the past, and he knew this was not a real political thing, but it was about something else, about a social rethinking of the equation. And he said, Rick, the experience of being with all these people with this good vibe, this good intention, this communal sense that we together can do something, he said it was intoxicating. And I know exactly what he was talking about. I'm sure you've had many of the similar experiences.
I've had a couple. I was on the flash end of that movement back in the day. But, you know, people are saying that this is a counterculture movement. I think a whole new culture being born right now. And I think it's one that is global. It's not anything that's actually confined to the United States. I think we're
sure.
all taking care of one another. And that's what makes it such a huge phenomenon. And I know phenomenon is not quite the right word to use because it's an actual grounded event. And it's happening in so many different places. And no matter what they do, it keeps spreading.
Yep. You know, I mean... I know there are people that say it's about Arab Spring spreading or it's about WikiLeaks. Those are all kind of like, those are symptoms. Those are kind of little bumps in the flow, if you ask me. And you know, yes, there's this cumulative thing. There's this sense that, you know, there's something being revealed. There's the lie, the charade, the synthetic nature, the money-grubbing consumerism. That's just falling away. And it
yeah.
doesn't really work for people. And I think this rejection of that consumer stuff, as you said, it's worldwide.
It is. It is. I mean, if you take a look at the places that filled, the streets filled with, I mean, Tokyo had a few hundred people. I would have thought many more would have shown up in Tokyo, honestly. Madrid was there were thousands in Madrid that turned out. And Taipei, they had many people. In Sydney, Australia. I mean, The list of international cities is endless, and they include little towns and hamlets. Do you know?
Sure, sure. You know, let me share one other really positive thought before I get off. I know I, like a lot of other people, was on pins and needles Friday morning, hoping that the good people in New York wouldn't be attacked. And
right.
I'll tell you, the sense of relief when that didn't happen that way, the sense of relief hearing that thousands joined them, that the city turned away from brutality, unlike some of the other cities. I know Chicago, there's been trouble. Denver,
yeah.
There was trouble. Boston, there was trouble. But it's not because of the people in the street. It's not because of the OWS. It's about the authority figures. It's about the fact that these policemen have been terrorized into acting like the goon squad, that we know these are just working people too. It's not them. And I think
yeah.
that's important that we keep that in mind. It's not them. They are not the enemy. They're mostly just working stiffs trying to make that money, trying to feed their families. And you can't hate them for that.
No,
but of course,
you can't.
We try to bring out
you,
the humanity in everybody.
I appreciate what you're saying. It's a great message to end the show on. I really appreciate that, Rick. On Friday evening, I had a moment where I went back to, you know, the term pig. I saw what was going on in New York as far as the police being a bit brutal. And that
sure.
was upsetting,
sure.
very upsetting. But all in all, most people, and I have to say, our sheriff's department down here, the PBSO, who have been overseeing our meetings and such, have been avuncular and guiding. They have not been a presence of force or a presence of lawman.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well,
thank
I'm going to have to
Rick.
Sign off. My pleasure, Gwen. Always a pleasure to join you and your thoughtful conversations.
Thank you so much, Rick. And everybody, so you know, this is Rick Network on Blog Talk Radio. That's on Sunday evening at 7 p.m.
Thanks again, Gwen. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, Rick. And I want to thank Rick for showing up and giving us some great stuff to think about today. We are at the close of an hour. And we haven't had a call in from any of our other folks who generally give us updates around the country or whatnot. Well, it's Monday, so you've been here with me and Stream of Consciousness and then with Rick, and hopefully you've enjoyed your time. I have a cute little thing to play to get us out of here, and a little dedication, as it were, to the wonderful folks, you know, the great people who are doing this, all of those Occupy folks, and that's in the big old good old world. So till tomorrow, when Dusty Taylor will be here with you, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it. We'll be back again. We're here every damn day. We are a boycott to the MSM. We appreciate your patience in our putting it along as we do. Hopefully we're learning and growing and getting better at this. But the point is, we're in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. And never to forget that. And this is for them.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around. When he hears this mighty sound,
here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
So though we are in danger, we never despair, 'cause we know that sure he is there.
He is there, on the land, on the sea, in the air. We're not worrying at all, we're just listening for his call.
save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Just listening for his call.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
Until tomorrow, and tomorrow Dusty Taylor will be with you, and thanks for tuning in. This is Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio, and we're sponsored by Roundtree7.com.